You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now Roy is a chum when he's on the rum. He's the glue when we spring a leak. And Stu is a mess, he does less and less. And Greg sounded worse each week. Pirate radio with the ship and crew. We got wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. For the pirate radio.
We had something that felt a little bit with the UFC and the Oscars and crowds. You felt the difference. A UFC crowd, you felt the difference. It felt like normal was coming back this weekend.
It still felt dangerous. I mean,
yes,
we have crowds. I'm not certain we're supposed to be having crowds.
You don't know who's vaccinated and who's not. And we can continue to see the danger. But this weekend felt like something that was closer to normal. And now, because we've been a note off for about 18 months now, about a note off on everything in the world, but the show is getting a little bit back to normal. Chris Cody is now in studio. He is vaccinated. Yeah. Chris Whittingham is in studio. We have more people in studio than we have had in 18 months. So we've got some semblance of the show. So how do we raise the degree of difficulty? We decide today is when we're going to introduce a new member to the shipping container. And on top of that, we're going to get a bomb threat and a late start today. And we're going to all be milling around amid the homeless people and that garage that smells like urine and feces. And we're going to just make everything a little bit more difficult today. So, Jessica, welcome aboard. We welcomed you this morning at about 5:30 in the morning with, hey, bomb scare.
Yeah, like
you asked whether you can sleep in. You're not physically here, but you will be soon. You are uprooting your glamorous New York life. You could have today experienced our terrible feces-soaked garage, the alley behind the Clevelander. You could have been on a corner with Chris Cody and Whittingham here at the height of sports entertainment and realized you had made some terrible life choices.
I have to say, waking up very early this morning and then immediately being met with, by the way, there's a bomb threat. So this morning start that you've been anticipating now for a very long time has been pushed back a few hours was a very interesting way to start my tenure here on the Lebatard Show.
All right. And before, we're not going to do too much in the way of introduction. We will get to know you naturally and organically as Meadowlark Media, as somebody who is now a helpful producer who will be here every day with us.
Wait until she sees that garage.
Yes. I was apologizing to her this morning about our general state of studio before the bomb threat. Like I was just talking about, it's a messy room with a bunch of men. There are a bunch of sports costumes on the floor. The entire place needs both an exterminator and a fumigator.
The group chat reads as though it was put together by one of Hollywood's best comedic writers. Chris Whittingham, you have the group chat, the way things happen for Jessica. So I want you to read the text messages Jessica woke up to.
Now, this is her welcome. Mike Ryan thought he had the all-in winner hand with my welcome to this Lebatard show. Tim Hardaway was my first guest I booked, and he immediately said that he hated gay people. And we thought that that was the previous biggest bomb that we've had around here. And this day will be remembered because we were all grubby on a corner. Like, I thought about this while we were getting coffee. Stu Gotts ungroomed, smelling like heaters. All of us in basketball shorts. Chris, the pandemic has been rough to him. Like, rough.
Wow.
And if she had seen what
Hot
she had...
Hot calling the kettle over here.
the show isn't the only thing that expanded.
Chris Cody, I thought to myself, man, if Jessica's thoughts just saw what she just traded in her life, Sports Illustrated, glamour of New York, to this street corner where you and I were both moving away from a homeless man who was shouting at nobody that we could tell was in the distance. Just shouting.
I thought that was Jessica.
You did mention at one point, you did say, is that Jessica? She'll fit right in. It was a homeless man who asked me to buy him eggs. So...
You guys had Cuban coffee. I was just sitting here drinking my Starbucks all morning. I would trade that in for the cafecito that you were drinking.
That was very nice of you, though, Dan.
It was.
Buy that person eggs.
Yeah, well, I thought it was Jessica. I wanted to make her feel welcome within our group here. So there are a number of things I want to get to from the weekend. Before I do that, though, Whittingham.
So the group text this morning, we should, I just want to read it as a transcript because, as Mike said, the comedic timing for a new person to be welcomed into this environment is extraordinary. Text, 5:23 a.m. Oh. It's Dan. Don't let our studios make you question your life decisions. Text, Mike Ryan, 6:38 a.m. Cleveland are evacuated. Might be 1 to 2 hours, quote, before the threat is cleared. I'll keep you all posted.
Wow, so I wasn't even specific to the threat. It could have been anything.
Mm-hmm. I actually thought I was getting pranked for a second. And then Billy responded and said, I don't even remember what he said, but I realized, oh, this is not like a new guy prank thing happening.
Totally normal is what Billy said.
It would have been an excellent prank. So anyways, welcome to the group. A memorable start. Apologies to the audience that we did not get started on time today. We all were looking around at each other. It didn't feel terribly organized as I found myself calling around to see if anyone had a studio space I could borrow. Oh. And Mike was screaming at Whittingham to drive to Best Buy and get a Yeti mic. Like, that's what we're doing at the top of entertainment. Give us tens of millions of dollars.
But Dan did the thing where I don't know if he was tapping into the Dan Le Batard that stumbled across the first take taping that one time. Like, it's kind of like his building. So he walks in the back alley. The fire alarms are still going off. I'm trying to explain to Dan that none of the power in the building is on, none of the AC. We couldn't record a show if we wanted to. And even if everything was working, these fire alarms, when you guys have been here in the studio when they're going off,
blaring.
It's piercing. It's like Gitmo torture. And Dan just puts in a combination to the alley and has to be stopped from entering the building by somebody saying, guys, there's a bomb threat. What are you doing? I'm like, I tried to tell him.
We got a show to do.
Just sauntered.
We've got a show to do, and I wasn't going to be deterred. Our audience demands Stugatz's weekend observations and what Adnan Virks thinks about the Oscars. So we will have that coming up for you shortly. I think the story of the weekend was Masvidal, right? Do you have anything better than that? Because Usman is now, everyone is talking about him like he is pound for pound. This is this knockout this way after the number of things that happened. Masvidal laughing in his face 12 seconds earlier. Masvidal saying before the fight he's got no punching power. Masvidal never having been knocked out in these circumstances before. Masvidal preparing for a wrestling match. And then this guy now entering the conversation of best pound for pound hits him with something so perfect, Stugatz. I mean, a straight right of your dreams that knocks Masvidal out in the way that George St. Pierre told us he feared, which is the humiliating way where everyone is laughing at you because you've got a big mouth and your politics have been on display for 12 months and the internet enjoyed. Like, it was a cool story, Stugatz. We loved the story. Yes. I take no joy from seeing him lose. I was bummed by everything that happened with our relationship with him because he was a delight, and then he suddenly became dangerous. And my guess is that if you talk to the people around him, they would tell you that they pushed that QAnon thing a little too strong and that he lost a lot of fans in a way that I'm guessing that they regret a little bit because of how strongly they pushed that. But we had a special thing with that dude, and his story is amazing. I wasn't rooting against him. His story is amazing.
Dan, I was part of his weigh-in 2 years ago. I mean, at Madison Square Garden with Mike, Pablo was there. I was part of his weigh-in. We had a great thing going.
I hurt for him being humiliated in that spot, even as over the last 6 months, we've had to make decisions about distancing ourselves from him because what he was doing with Trump was so dangerous.
Right. I mean, as it relates to the fight, though, I will tell you, like, he crumbled, and it was embarrassing, and a lot of people were laughing at him because, Dan, you can't be the guy inviting more punches to the face and laughing every time the guy tries to punch you in the face, and then he punches you in the face, and you explode. Like, I mean, you just crumble.
Well, and a memorable knockout when you've spent a lot of time disparaging his punching power. And he beat you at your game. You prepared for wrestling, and he did it your way from Miami streets, your entire story. You're respected throughout that sport as a gangster's gangster because of how you came up, and you're a legitimate fighter, and he destroyed you on your terms in a way that afterward, even Masvidal had to say, hey, he's got my number. Like, if he's going to beat me both ways, the first time he did it his way, and this way he did it my way, that's enough for us fighting because he's better than I am at this.
Somehow I was up late enough or early enough to watch that fight. Dead show that night too, so it was a rough night.
I saw you retweeting Bob Weir. I'm like, oh boy, yeah, we're in for some kind of Monday.
Still recovering, by the way. But my wife and I felt bad for Masvidal afterwards because we felt like that's his last opportunity. Is it not?
Oh no, it's not. No. He's no man. They're still resurrecting Nick Diaz and Nate Diaz. No. He'll have plenty.
I mean, Dan, that was embarrassing.
That's his last big payday. But yes, that's the humiliation that St. Pierre was saying that he feared because, man, when you get stripped down to nothing but your vulnerability, I admire the courage of all those dudes who do that for a living. And I want to get to what I think was the big winner of the weekend, which I think was Jake Paul. Like, he is running circles around this sport. He is going, exhuming Ben Askren, who has now made two stars, Ben Askren, in Masvidal and now Jake Paul. And then Daniel Cormier makes the mistake of putting a finger in his face, and now he's going after Dana White. Did you see the quote saying, like, he's going after Dana White? What do you do? What do you do in your life when the douche nozzle makes a good point? Because Jake Paul is the worst. The worst. That guy, nobody likes, and come on, is this a young people thing? Young people love this guy, or is he just popular, famous, influencer, YouTuber guy? Because he seems a special kind of awful.
I mean, he's playing the fight game. Why don't we like him? He's bringing attention to boxing. I like Jake Paul. I'll say it. I'll get out there. I'm a Jake Paul fan.
Jake Paul is popular because he's polarizing, correct? Or is he young? I just love the idea that MMA is now Disney mainstream, and this guy is coming after Dana White by name, saying, hey, I'm making all sorts of money doing it my circus freak way that you keep mocking, because now, all of a sudden, Sugat, MMA is the self-serious sport. Now MMA is condescending Jake Paul. Oh, that circus you guys did with Triller. Like, now, Stuffy, we've lived long enough for MMA to be Stuffy management.
Right. Jake Paul wins just by them acknowledging Jake Paul.
That's correct.
That's how he wins.
He wins the weekend by running circles around this sport in playing the game he's playing, the young person's game.
He's controversial. I don't think, as an entertainer, he definitely brings a lot of eyeballs to the sport now, but a lot of people don't like him. I would say just as many people hate him as love him, and he has a lot of supporters from YouTube, and that should tell you how many people also probably hate him.
But big winner from the weekend. I mean, see the Knicks.
Okay, let's talk about that. It's been too long. Let's talk about this, because New York is an unreasonable kind of arrogant. This should be the local hour. This isn't what we should be talking about here.
Oh, I'll talk about the Cats. That was a big victory Saturday.
It was.
Night.
That's right.
Oh, Barkey had his revenge.
No look. How do you make a no look game winner to beat Carolina? We're all hockey experts now.
Just going to put this question out there. Presently, the Besu players in Florida Panthers franchise history are on this very team. How's that for a take?
Yeah.
Huberdeau and Barkey.
I think
you're
right.
Best two players in franchise history.
They did it. They built this team through the draft, and both guys are getting Sidney Crosby type good at the exact same time. They are.
Hold your horses. Sidney Crosby type good is...
No. Mike, look at the points. Look at plus minus. Listen, hockey's all about plus minus. Roy will tell you.
What?
Look at the plus minus, okay?
What just happened? What just happened? Data, this is when you're going to use the data?
Listen, they're top 10 in goals per game. They're top 10 in goals given up per game. I mean, this team plays offense, and they got great goalkeeping. Yeah, it was bad. I didn't deliver that correctly. They don't give up a lot of goals is what I was trying to say, Bill.
Okay, you want to do it again? You want to start over?
Top 10 in scoring. Okay.
You got the finger wagging and you were feeling good about your hockey knowledge.
Good.
You threw out a plus minus on the table.
Yeah. Sidney Crosby, Sid the Kid.
I am not sure that what Mike has just said there is not blasphemous against Pavel Bure. Is it blasphemous against Pavel Bure to suggest that the Panthers presently have the two best players in franchise history on their team?
Well, no, it's not, because Barkov and Huberdeau are the point leaders in franchise history, so it's not blasphemous to say that at all. They are the best players in franchise history currently and right now all time.
Well, look at that. Mike Ryan.
How about that?
Pavel Bure, in terms of excellence while wearing a Panthers uniform, at his absolute ceiling, was probably the best player in terms of talent that the Panthers have ever had. But it was very brief. You look at the franchise points leaders, he pales in comparison to Jonathan Huberdeau and Alexander Barkov. So, yeah, I'm doing a long game here with those two. They've been in the Panthers uniform for a long time, but now they're reaching their absolute apex, and the Panthers are better for it. Jessica, do you like the Ice Cats? You will.
What are you doing? You can't toss it awkwardly like that to Jessica and throw Panthers hockey at her. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, no. They're not my team.
You don't think they miss Ekblad? You don't think they miss Ekblad? I think they miss
it. I really don't have much to say about them, so other than your creepy gif has been giving me nightmares for months.
One of the best hockey teams in the league.
It's my Nicaraguan friend Joel. What do you think about the goalie situation? Bobrovsky, Driedger, Spencer Knight, where do you fall?
Don't do that to her. That is not a bomb scare is going to be the second worst thing in her day if you start peppering her with Panther questions on her first day. What you just did is unfair. You wouldn't pepper us with those kind of Panther questions.
Roy, these giveaways, and I'm sure Jessica can echo this sentiment. Montour, Yandel, too messy with the biscuit.
Yeah, it was bad. That shorthanded goal that the Panthers gave up on Thursday, that was Montour's turnover. That was egregious. That was a 2-on-1 break going back the other way shorthanded, and they just toyed with Bobrovsky on that goal. That was bad.
Jess, you agree. Montour, very sloppy with the biscuit.
Come on.
I disagree with whatever you're saying right now.
It's so wrong.
Excellent.
I disagree with
as
it.
As you should.
It is so wrong. What Mike Ryan just did is wrong on a number of different levels. Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Is Mike Ryan a special kind of wrong in terms of how he treats an employee on the first day?
Okay. Well, also put on the poll, is Montour sloppy with the biscuit?
Okay. Yeah. Put that on the poll as well, because this is not fair for a number of different reasons. But one of the reasons is, we have grown over the last few years that we were doing this at ESPN. We all saw it, how unfair the cavemen were to Sarah and Mina and Katie and Jamel and everyone. If you get a thing wrong as a woman in this industry, it does not stick to you the same way that it would to men. I can go out there and say all the time that I don't know X, Y, and Z without it being an embarrassment on any acumen I have about sports.
The way it sticks to me.
That we've got a special place of privilege in that regard. And so I cannot think of a worse situation that you could have put me in on PTI when I was nervous doing my first day than them asking me like a bunch of golf questions about the second day of the Masters when I don't know anything and you're asking me to fake it. So, Mike, I believe that if we had a human resources department, she would have a legitimate complaint right now. Bullying from an executive doing that to her on the first day, it's like a prank.
Bullying? Yes, Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Hazing. If I'm reading this wrong, but I feel like the Florida Panthers are the most disgusting in North America right now. That's the way that I'm reading it. And how about the Higuaín's at Subaru Park Saturday night? Gonzalo and Fetty get their revenge on Philadelphia Union. Am I right? Am I right? I can't even tell you right.
I just have to say one thing, which is to Dan's point that women have made it very high up in sports media now. There's female anchors in the broadcast booth on radio stations, but I think we will know as a country, as a world, when we've made it, when there's the female equivalent of a Stu Gatz on a radio show one day.
Wow.
And that's when we'll really know that there is true equality.
Yep.
Who would qualify?
Thank you, by the way.
Ladies, we really do need to send out a challenge to the entire gender. Who's brave enough to try to be incompetent at their job on the way to the top, to fail and be lazy publicly, to have gambling and personal problems, to be public about how much of a disgrace she is? Who would dare to do that?
Who rips a few heaters at the 10th Street garage before coming in after a long weekend of jamming it out to Bob Weir and friends?
Few too many before 8 a.m. this morning. I had like 3. Darts.
Sugats.
Welcome, Jessica. See if you take up the role of Sugats.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
I feel like the fact that Chris uses a stove as an alarm is something that the wider world should know and be aware of. That was the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
All right, explain that to us. You're going to find all sorts of weirdness all over the place. I see the shame gripping Chris Cody's face there because something that was off air is now on air.
But knowing Chris the way we do, is a stove really that surprising?
Wait a second. I'm assuming this is a Chris Cody thing. Is it?
It's not. It's Whittingham.
I thought Chris Cody was red face. That's just his face?
He got some sun over the weekend.
I thought he was just ashamed.
What?
Whittingham, you're using a stove as an alarm clock?
That's correct. Yeah, so I was explaining my distrust of my phone as an alarm, and also the ability to, if you keep your phone by your bed, to then go back into bed with the phone and continue sleeping without an alarm. The stove, I live in a studio apartment, so I can just get up from the bed, go to the stove, and turn it on. And the process of turning on the lights, I know where to hit the button, and getting up wakes me up in the morning, and therefore I don't need another alarm.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Is it weird to use in 2021 to be a 28-year-old person using a stove for a clock?
Why not use the phone? I understand the studio element. Like, I understand the apartment, but why not just use the phone?
It's unbelievable. She is
I understand the not using the phone aspect. The way we got on this conversation was because I said I've been awake since 3 because I have alarm anxiety. When I have to wake up early and I'm not used to waking up early, I don't trust my phone. Sometimes it's on silent, do not disturb, whatever, and I get nervous that I'm not going to wake up to my phone alarm. And then that's when Whittingham said, that's why I use my stove.
You wouldn't have had alarm anxiety if your stove was your alarm, I'm telling you.
Okay, wait, so you trust the stove more than any? Why do you trust the stove more
than any? It's loud. It's loud. I have to get up out of bed. I'm not missing it. I can guarantee you that.
You know what you should do? You should get like a firework with a really long fuse, right? And then light it when you go to sleep and you set the timer like this is an 8-hour fuse and I need to get up or shit's going to hit the fan.
Like a cartoon.
You will find all sorts of weirdness around here. I don't know that we're going to find a lot weirder than a stove used by a 20-year-old person who is otherwise technically equipped. It's not like he's not technologically savvy. This is a life choice. He has chosen to trust his stove. A piece of electronics from another time.
Sometimes analog is the best solution, Dano.
But there are analog alarms that aren't stoves, that aren't connected to gas or electricity.
I actually have one flammable capacity. I have one that I found on Amazon, which lights up like the sun in the morning. And that wasn't enough for me.
As opposed to the sun?
Right. Well, I don't know if you know this, Mike, but the show starts pretty early, and the sun is not up when my alarm goes off.
I just figured you had a chip in your brain that just woke you up.
All of us thought that. That's why it's so shocking that I was looking at Chris Cody's red face and simply assuming, of course he uses a stove for an alarm. He's a Cody. They're weird. Erlene Cody, Greg's wife, just shot me a photo of her husband with a beer early in the morning and a rooster under one of his arms.
That's a hell of a Monday.
And I just said to her, you have married the world's strangest person, and that person has had offspring. And Chris, we developed some of our parental patterns at every turn. It wouldn't have been surprising to anybody, I don't think, if Chris Cody had been red-faced from shame because his stove was an alarm. But Chris, welcome back. I'm happy to see you again.
Happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you in studio again and return to some semblance of normalcy. I wanted to talk some local sports with you guys because Jimmy Butler is saying, quote, we get there, us as a team, I'll handle the rest. And that's goosebumps for Stugatz.
Yes.
And it also means next to nothing when the top of the conference looks a good deal stronger than Jimmy Butler. And I'd get kind of annoyed with this a little bit if I was in that locker room and at every turn, it's like, okay, Jimmy will take care of us because we made one run, but the teams in the East look a good deal better than us this year and we've been super inconsistent.
Yeah, but he has that one run to bank on for now. I mean, he's been a member of the Heat for 1 year. He took him to the NBA Finals, but it is funny. When did Jimmy Butler become the guy? Just get me to the playoffs. I'll take
How's
care of the
How's that one
rest.
Going over? The fans love that. The fans
love
that.
Yes.
But they're not even as good as the Knicks this season. And Jimmy Butler has been good all season, but how do you like him separating himself that way by saying, you guys get me there. You, Bam, who's soft.
Right.
Bam, who needs to go? You guys get me there. I'll handle the rest. It's like, okay,
how
Jimmy,
about you help get us there, right?
Well, they haven't been good this season. Yeah. And I don't believe that they get to the postseason and all of a sudden they're going to look up at the Nets and the Sixers. Joel Embiid is doing all of the things that Jimmy is saying Bam won't do. It's hard down there near that rim. And Embiid has been better this season because it's like, never mind, I'm doing whatever I want down here because I'm physically stronger than all of you. It's what Jimmy Butler is requesting. It's the leap Embiid has made where he's somebody who's fundamentally physically stronger. He started playing 10 years ago. This guy's going to keep getting better. Shaq learned this. He learned how to have low post moves. Embiid is going to get more and more unstoppable if he stays healthy. And you're not going to have someone better than him when this postseason arrives.
I think part of this is how confused we all are by last year's NBA season, because Bam and Tyler Hero took additional year leaps within a season that you don't often see, because an entire offseason happened as they were continuing a season. So us as fans, we're thinking, well, naturally, Bam and Tyler Hero are going to continue to ascend as players. That's not really the case. Maybe next offseason. But what happened in October, that's kind of who you're getting right now. And I think we all assumed the Miami Heat would naturally be better because those players were taking a jump. Maybe they kind of took that jump and it's not good enough. And here we are, and every Miami Heat fan is looking at each other. Yeah, it's going to have to be Jimmy again. I don't know. There's been kind of like a meme amongst Heat Twitter, maybe playing on what Sugat said about Dwayne Wade and Pat Riley back in the day. But Jimmy Butler is older in age, older than a player that the Miami Heat historically like to sign in free agency. And he kind of needs a help right now. And they trusted the younger players to help get him back to where he was. And maybe that'll push him over. Health and those players' continued development will push him over to an NBA title. That's not the case now. Maybe they should have made a trade.
Spoelstra said, Stugat, we have to win now. This is an older player. This is his window right now. If he's going to be our best guy, we can't waste his years. And he's now talking like a guy. That quote is, hey, don't waste my year. You get me there. I'll take care of the rest. But he's older. Man, Bam and Tyler Hero are going to play. They're going to play for the next decade. They've got
right.
He's got that decade on miles on his body. And LeBron just ran over him in the he could give you one LeBron game. He gave you everything. You cannot question. He became a star last year because he gave you everything he had. And that's as far as he could take it. Once he ran into LeBron and Anthony Davis, it wasn't enough because LeBron can do that six times in a series and you can only do it once.
He's going to need Bam to help him get there. If they get him there, he's going to need Tyler Hero to be something close to what he was last year, Duncan Robinson, something close to what he was during that playoff run last year, and Goran Dragic as well. Dan, unfortunately, the Nets are so good, no one's beating them. They are so good. Dan, I'm sorry.
They haven't played together. The different versions of this team
right.
have not played together. Yes, they just ran Phoenix off the court with Durant coming off the bench and scoring a bunch of points.
And no Harden. I mean, they're incredible. Once they play together, Dan, if they play together, even without playing together, they're the one seed in the East. Imagine when they actually play together and play a string of games together.
This is what I would say to you, that Harden and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant are Harden and Westbrook and Durant as the Oklahoma City Thunder. There were three of them on that team. James Harden was coming off of the bench for that team and would become the player that we know. They ended up losing to the disjointed parts of the Miami Heat as basketball evolved into its next phase. That team doesn't play any defense at all, Stugat, and it will be a test when they arrive at whoever it is it's going to be. Milwaukee, Philadelphia, the Lakers, whatever it is, if those three guys ever get on a court together, right? Because, Stugat, you're not going to suddenly go to trusting James Harden and Kyrie Irving more than the guys you've seen do it in LeBron James and Anthony Davis. If I put that series in front of you,
or Kawhi maybe.
If I put a series in front of you where you've got a team that hasn't done it and doesn't play any defense and the team on the other side you've seen win the championship, you're going to go no records, no championships in my personal record book. You're going to trust those three guys that you've been killing for 5 years. Those three specific guys that you have been crushing for 5 years, you're going to trust them to win the championship.
I mean, those three, you can play five at a time and three of your five are those three guys for 40 minutes during the playoffs. Yeah, I'm going to take them.
Cortez is pissed at Dan. Saying Dan's trying to divide the heat.
Trying to divide the heat?
What? Yeah, that's what Cortez says.
What just happened?
I mean, it would be nice if Dan could just get the quote right. I mean, like, seriously, he says that he posited it as Jimmy against the team. Like, it wasn't even journalistically accurate. Dan's been a beloved journalist for, what, 30 years, 20 years? I mean, come on, Dan, get the quote right.
All right, so it's not, I'm rubbing off on him. Yeah. So you're telling me the quote, we get there,
decades.
Us as a team, 30 decades seems extreme. I've hurt you in a soft space. You're such a heat homer.
Greg Cody's been at the Herald for 30 decades.
We get there, us as a team, I'll handle the rest. What do I have wrong?
That's a different quote than what you said. He's including himself as part of that, saying we and us. He's not saying you guys get me there and then I'll take care of it. And for the record, like, the only time the Heat have been good this year is when Jimmy's on the court. Like, when he's off the court, they struggle in a big way. Last year, that was really not the case. They were like just a half a point worse, you know, when he was off the court.
Please explain to me, you're questioning my journalistic integrity as Heat propaganda guy.
Someone did it,
and you accused me of 30 decades of service to journalism, and you told me I got the quote wrong. And so the quote is, we get there, us as a team, I'll handle the rest. What did I say that was wrong?
Listen to the tape, Dan. You said that Jimmy, you basically created division in the locker room. You're trying to get on First Take. I know what you're doing. You know how to get on First Take, Dan.
That's what he wants.
And then what you're trying to do is just create division. And I don't like it. Like, what he said was, look, all of us, we're going to get there as a team, and then I'm going to take over, which is a goosebumps-inducing moment. It's still Heat in five. Nothing has changed.
Imagine another seventh seed saying that. Imagine Gordon Hayward being like, just get me there. I'll take us there. The division is the gulf in the standings right now. They're going to have to play a play-in round.
Just get me to the play-in game.
Just get them to the playoffs. You have to go through three other teams to get there.
Mike, do you realize how crazy? We have escalated the stakes, and this is not a good product of the newfound freedom that we have. Mike Ryan was the height of annoying, obnoxious, cocaine-y, Heat homer, loud, obnoxious, calling Knicks fans jackasses because of how fun they're finding
by that.
A 9-game winning streak, but they themselves never think that they are jackasses when everything is Heat in five and we're underrated and we're disrespected. Mike Ryan has annoyed the audience to no end with Heat homerism, and Ryan Cortez is Heat homerism on steroids. He is Heat propaganda. He is the Iraqi information minister of publicity for the Miami Heat.
No.
What do you mean no?
He has facts and truth on his side, Dan. He gives accurate quotes. He doesn't play with words to fit his narrative. He comes out there and he tells you exactly what was said.
Are you and I best friends, Billy?
It seems like it.
Ryan, you need to learn how to detect sarcasm.
What do you mean?
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.